Shane McGachran.
We're building up from Ascendia, and we're talking rock with Dave and Shane.
Hi, everybody. This is Rob Halford, the Rudy Sergeant.
Hi there, this is Steve Hackett.
Hey, folks, this is Rick Emmett of Triumph, and we're talking rock with Dave and Shane.
Well, Billy, welcome in, man. So good to have you, Billy from Ascendia. And you've got some new stuff out, right? The new single, This War. You always find a way to be creative, I think, and just, whether it's symphonic metal or just, prog influences, there's so much going on, how are you feeling about obviously you feel really good about, This War and the stuff coming out. I mean, just tell us, kind of take us behind the scenes of how you were putting together the latest material here.
Yeah. So, the newer stuff is different than the older stuff. And the fact that, we try to refine it a little bit. So like you said, we did a lot of prog and power rate, a lot of those elements, and those tend to be lengthier songs, and like they have a little bit more meat on them. But what we tried to do with this next record was kind of like, pretty much we use the term trim the fat a little bit, and things that were not needed to be there, we took them out. The first record was very experimental because we were young kids. We didn't we didn't know too much about writing. We were just doing, we're like, fuck it, this is it, right? And then over the years, you learn more about writing, you learn more about your own taste and yourself. So we kind of refined it a little bit. I think we made a more mature sound, a sound that's more listenable and more palatable for more people. So yeah, we definitely switched things up from the first record. The first record was really interesting. We were like, it was a lot of high school influences because we were kids when we wrote it.
Yeah.
It was 7 years ago now, fuck, after the pandemic.
Wow.
So it's been a minute. So yeah, like that, this thought, like our personal, tastes have changed and just our writing ability has changed. So yeah, things are a little bit different on this new one.
Who have you been listening to like in recent time? Like who are some of those, tell us about some of those influences that go into this.
So I listen to two sides of things majorly right now. I listen to rock and metal. That's the one side. And I listen to a lot of top 40s dance. And the reason why is because I do a lot of the vocal writing. I'm always trying to find a hook. So the top 40s and dance stuff, I really rely on to try and, help me with that, with writing the actual vocal hooks. So I listen to a lot of like the top 40 stuff and dance stuff, but from the rock scene, it was kind of weird because the pandemic happened. So nobody was really coming out with stuff too much. And then, now people are starting to come out again, but I listen to a lot of like Nothing More, Bad Wolves, Seven Dust, Falling in Reverse big time, and then a lot of my older guys like Slipknot still crush them all the time, a couple of the heavy guys like In Flames and stuff like that. So it's kind of weird because sometimes it's hard for me to find time to even listen to music. I usually listen to music when I work out, which is which is really, really great, but it's I love it, but it's sometimes I'll discover new music on Spotify and things like that because they have like the new music weekly and stuff. But sometimes it's just so fucking trash and I get turned off. I'm like, okay, I'm going back to my old stuff. I'm going to start killing.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's new music. I mean, I love discovering new stuff, but you never, especially that top 40, you never know what you're going to get into. Like, I love hard rock and metal, but then I also like Ava Max and I like, Dua Lipa and, so many others,
I love both those artists. Ava Max came out. I think she's on the new Tiesto song Motto. I don't know if she's done some great stuff. I love her, but I listen to her. I listen to like Tate McRae and I listen to, Taylor Swift and I love these artists and I think they're phenomenal. Like I'm a huge pop fan. Ed Sheeran, Shawn Mendes, these guys are great. So yeah, I love listening to pop. I love listening to pop. People usually get surprised when I say that, but like probably mostly I listen to pop, to be honest.
Yeah. It's cool. It's nice to have that blend, right? I mean, to see kind of where music's going, and I guess you could see where technology is going, the industry and all of that, right? So that's pretty cool.
Sure. Yeah, for sure. Pop is the leading indicator.
Yeah, absolutely. So talk about with these kind of new influences. I mean, how does it is it hard to sort of stay connected to your older stuff as you are evolving? I wonder that with any artist, right? I mean, any artist, no matter how long they've been doing it, if you're going back and you're putting together a set list and you're like, okay, you've got to play the earlier stuff. But then you're also doing the newer stuff. Like, is it hard to stay connected to, you know, some of those earlier records when you're doing the newer thing, or is it just, it's always there?
It's, you know, that's a very interesting question, because like, it's such a big evolution. You're like, I don't know how much it's going to fit together, because the earlier stuff is more prog power, and then the newer stuff is more like, you know, hard rock, kind of more like, I would say, commercial mainstream hard rock. So there is a very big disconnect. That's the reason why prog power music is not popular music, right? The rock, you know, at least, because they're very different. So, you know, it's kind of hard to fuse the two at times, but at the same time, you know, we have our brand that, you know, it seeps through into the new stuff as well. So there's like a thin layer of like, terrain that's, you know, applicable and comes from the old stuff and isn't in the new stuff. So it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, it's sometimes it's different to amalgamate the two sounds, but there's still like the same brand. Like, you hear our singer's voice and that kind of like, you know, you kind of like, you're like, oh yeah, it's still Ascendia, but like, you know, they're very different. They change. So it's going to be one of those. I think what our fans that knew us before are going to be like, it's like, yeah, this is still the same band, but fuck, did they change? You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
It's like a growth spurt in puberty.
I know Nick has talked about in some other interviews about, you know, some of the personal stuff that went on in his life, you know, and bringing that into songs like This War and Parasite. But he, you know, he talks about band therapy, which is so unique, because I know a lot of bands, I think, you know, Morgan Rose even talked about that in Seven Dust. He went through some stuff and how the band was so tight and you know, banded around him. What was it like for you to observe, you know, Nick in that process and to be a part of that band therapy dynamic?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was really rough during the time because we didn't know what the fuck was going on. And we were younger too, so.
Yeah.
It was hard to even assume that was going on. Like, I never really knew anybody that was, you know, a coke addict, right? It was fucking, he was the first one. So, like, his behavior was really weird. We knew it was really off and it was really fucked. But we didn't know really what it was. We're like, what's going on with this dude? Maybe we're just changing. And then when he finally opened up about it, it was like, It was tough because, like, you know, me, Nick, and John grew up. We're like, John's my brother, but me, Nick, and John have been best friends our whole life. So, you know, the thing that really works with us is we're like a family. We've known each other for so long. So it was the same thing for that process where it was all about just like, all right, well, we got to help him out, man. This guy's going to fucking rot if we don't. So it was a big, like, team family effort to help him out. And it was difficult because we didn't even know how to do it. Like, you know, we went on a tour and we were so worried, like, this guy's going to, we're worried about him, you know, lapsing, right? Or whatever, relapsing. And we were like, yo, you can't do this. Be careful with this. And we were like, it was kind of like mothering him. And he was completely fine with it because he was, but then now I look back at it, I'm like, kind of like, you know, like, were we a little bit too much? So it was a learning process for us too as well. But it was all out of love. Like, we love each other. So it worked out in the end because we just cared, you know? So it was crazy though. That's a fucked up thing to go through with someone that you're that close with.
Yeah, that's incredibly hard. I mean, you know, addiction has touched so many lives and, you know, but to have, and they always say a support group is everything, you know, and I mean, it literally is, not to be cliche, but it really is a band of brothers with you guys, right? I mean, obviously you're your brother, but that brotherhood, I mean, that's, you know, does it make the music, it obviously makes it even more powerful because of that closeness, right? There's so many layers of connectedness.
Yeah, for sure. Like, so there's a lot of benefits to it. Like, first of all, we know each other so well. So it's like, you know, we understand what we all like and we understand what we don't like. And we know when there's going to be a problem. And if there is a problem, we know how to handle it because we know each other so well. But yeah, like it's, music's all about the vibe that you're creating when you're writing with people. And when you're writing with people you're completely comfortable with, that's a different vibe than someone you don't really know, you're a little uncomfortable with. And like, you don't know if he's going to like your stuff, you're a little insecure. You know, with us, it's just like, fucking shut the fuck up. What's your idea, you know?
Right.
Sucks. Who cares? You know, let's try again. So it's really good. It definitely adds to the creation process of the music.
Yeah. Well, plus growing up together. And talk about the relationship with your brother. I mean, you guys, like, when did you guys first connect musically? You know, like, were you the first to kind of dig the music, you know, like, you know, being an artist, or was it him? Like, kind of walk us through that.
Yeah. So me and my brother we're like so close. We're best friends. So we're like twins without being twins. My parents bought him a guitar first before me, like for Christmas one year. He was young. So he was playing guitar, and then I was like, well, I want to play an instrument too. I want to play guitar too. And then that's, my dad bought me a drum set. But my dad was a drummer, so he gave me like an old drum set, and I started on that, and then he bought me one eventually. But so John started really, you know, with the music stuff, and then I wanted to be with him, and then we started kind of like jamming together. He got really obsessed with guitar when he was in, grade 8 to high school. Like, he was fucking obsessed. Like, this guy was doing like 5-6 hours a day on it. It was really fucking weird. Whereas I love drums. I was playing like probably a couple hours a day, but it was nowhere near to the extent he was. But I really was a music listener. Like, it was funny. I was just driving with John yesterday. And we started playing all our old songs we listened to, like by a band called Rainbow. And I was fuck. I remember listening to this song when I was like, you know, in grade 7 or 6 in my room on a vinyl. Like, you know, like you hear those stories of like blocks out. It's like, I was listening to a vinyl. It's like, this is what I was doing when I was 12 years old. Everyone's like, nobody knows what the fuck Rainbow is. That's what I was doing. So I listened to music a lot. John started playing music a lot, and then I had to keep up with him. And that was kind of like how we just evolved from that.
Yeah. That's awesome. So your dad was a drummer too. So awesome. So it goes back that far. That's cool, man.
Yeah. My dad was a drummer. He was in a band in the '80s. And then he just cold turkey stopped, and now he's doing his thing.
Yeah. Now, was it the Toronto scene too? I mean, was that something that just, you know, grabbed you, and you were just like, holy crap. I mean, these bands, these artists, you know, this is awesome.
Yeah. I mean, Toronto is a great place to grow up in Canada for rock and metal, because Canada doesn't have that many spots. We have like Montreal, Toronto, maybe like Quebec City, and then everything else is kind of just like, kind of okay, you know, but really, really it's Toronto and like Montreal, I think, are the two top scenes. So, you know, we actually have one of the best like rock scenes, I think, in North America, to be honest, because even when we play shows, you know, like in Toronto seems to have the best audience no matter what band we've toured with. So it's really cool, because, you know, it's much better when you go to see one of your favorite bands and you got a jam-packed room than when you go there's 7 people. You're like, fuck, what am I doing here? Like, is this actually... So it made me believe that rock was bigger than what it was, to be honest. Yeah, so I guess it's a good thing and a bad thing.
Yeah. Were there venues like coming up that you just had dreams of playing at home, like, or even all across Canada? Were there like venues that were just like the creme de la creme, so to speak, you know?
Yeah, well, I just want to play the fucking arena. I don't give a fuck about anything else. I want to fill up a 20,000 person venue. So those are the ones I play.
Yeah. Love it. So, I mean, you know, with this album out, coming out, Parasite, do you guys have a lot of, it seems like you guys have a lot of input in your videos too, obviously, right? Like, you guys are kind of very artistic all around. Kind of tell me about like how you, illustrate or visualize the music itself. And is that a hard thing to do? I mean, cause that, I mean, a video can make or break a track sometimes, right?
Yeah. So like, the video is interesting because it's your brand, right? Like, this is what you're showing people. So for example, this war, we thought this war was going to be the first single. So we're like, let's do it as a performance-based video because we want people to see us, know who we are, right? Like, because nobody really knows. It's been 7 years since we released the last record. So people haven't seen us in a while. And it's like, when I was 7 years ago, I was fucking 80 pounds heavier. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's one of those things. So we're like, let's use this video as a way to just showcase the band. Let's just look cool. It's a cool song. Let's fucking get that going and let people see us. With the other video, Parasite, it was way more artistic because that's a very deep song. That song's really about Nick's addiction. So we wanted to go like really deep with that. And, you know, we all were just like throwing ideas into the pot. And then we kind of came up with this concept of like the reigning world that we're in, kind of a thing. And like, if there's an actor, we have an actor in there who's actually one of my good friends, and he's the guy getting infiltrated essentially by the addiction. So we wanted to show Nick's thing that he went through in that video, and we wanted to make it dark and cold and that kind of thing. So yeah, music videos are hard because, like, you know, you're just, because you make music doesn't mean you know how to make music videos. So you might come up with this fucking idea and it just looks horrible. Like, I've made some suggestions where I'm like, thank God nobody let me do that, because it was, you know, so It's an interesting process making music videos for sure.
Yeah. Well, and what I love is how, I mean, of course, with social media and everything transfers kind of that way. And I love how you guys have embraced social media also and pushing out a lot of this stuff. I mean, is that like, because since the last time you guys did music 7 years ago, I mean, obviously that's changed so much. You've got TikTok now, you've got, so much more. I mean, Instagram, I think, may have been around then, but it wasn't as it's not what it is now, you know, with stories and all the things you can do. Do you enjoy that? I mean, do you enjoy kind of pushing out the content that way and connecting that way?
Yeah, well, I mean, I do TikTok, so I'm actually right.
You're huge on TikTok, yeah.
Yeah, so I got a couple 100,000 followers on TikTok. So like TikTok was my music for the whole pandemic, because there was no more music. Like, we finished the record before the pandemic, but we didn't want to release it because rock is touring music. Like, people want to see rock live. So we didn't want to release an album and then just like, hey, we're never playing this show for fucking 2 years. And then the album dies and nobody cares about it anymore. Right.
Right.
So our decision, which was a difficult one, was to hold on to it. But in that time I did TikTok and that became my creative outlet. And I love making content. I think it's fun as fuck, to be honest. And I especially love doing it solo. My TikTok is purely me. And the reason why I like that is because the band is a corporation too. I know it's a band, but like, you have to act on behalf of all three members, right?
Right.
I can't just say shit on behalf of the other two and expect them to be cool with it, right? Whereas my own one, it's like, I say whatever I want, which is exactly what I do. So I love doing the social media thing. It's something that's like, it's something I want to merge with the music thing. Because I think it's really cool. Like, I think one big phase that I want to do is like, hey, come on tour with a touring rock musician. It'd be so cool, because like, if I was a kid, I'd be like, fuck, I would love to go on tour with my favorite bands. I would love to see how it is. So that's one thing I'm really excited for when we get to that point where we're touring, is like, I have the social media to show everybody what it's like to being a touring artist. And yeah. And so to answer your question, things have changed a lot. Everything is very internet based now. Like, even back, you know, before it was mainly Facebook, and Instagram was cool, but it wasn't really that big. There was no TikTok. Now it's like, Instagram's out of style and TikTok's the new in style thing. So it's right. Like, wow, we went through a whole fucking technology, you know, since the last record. So yeah, it's a game changer. You have to use it wisely and use it properly, but it's something that can really help us. And it's cost effective as well, because you don't have to go on tour as much as you used to, you know, especially in the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah, you're at Billy Love Baby, right? On TikTok. And you do a lot of fitness stuff on there too, I noticed. So is that like kind of part of like, you know, connecting with folks, right? And just sharing like a passion with people, right?
Yeah, well, so I used to be a fatty, and it was like one of my things to get into shape. So what I did was I lost weight and I got into shape. And how I lost weight was I was watching a lot of YouTube vlogs. And when I was watching these vlogs, I was like, oh, this is so interesting. And I loved it. And I learned so much from it. And then I got to a point where I was like, all right, now I've learned a ton of stuff. And I wanted to like, kind of, you know, show people how that it's possible, you know, to lose weight and get into shape if you want to. The other thing too, was like, I had nothing else to fucking do. Like, I was doing TikTok. I was like, what am I going to do? Like, I can't do music. Everything's closed. But I had my gym in my garage, so I was just doing a bunch of weightlifting videos, and then I showed people like, hey, like, this is me going on the cut to lose weight for the summer, and that's when things started taking off. So, it was an interesting switch up from my life. Like, I didn't think I was going to become like a fitness TikTok guy, but that's kind of what it came to be. Although my TikTok is a lot of things. It's music. It's eating, cooking. Like, I do eating challenges all the time, you know, so it's pretty much just my life. Like, I do everything. Like, if I go to a Slipknot concert, I do a vlog of the Slipknot concert. So it's kind of a lifestyle vlog more than anything now, but it's very fitness focused, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's cool too for a lot of artists, because like, you get to see what everyone's into. I mean, there's, I don't know, Paul Stanley does painting, I know. And like, he was doing that for a while. And like, I think it was one of the social media, you know, or you see, of course, Sammy Hagar, you know, he's always doing something new with tequila, or, you know, everyone's got their thing, which is cool. Right. You know, it's a way to, it helps connect people more, you know. I mean, I think in many ways, like, we're still kind of learning how to reconnect with people since the pandemic, you know, at least that's what it feels like here in the States. I don't know about there, but social media does kind of help with that in a way, I think, in terms of building interests and stuff like that. So I don't know, maybe you see the same way.
Yeah, well, I mean, it does build social media. I think social media really builds interest and really divides people, because you can't have a real conversation on social media either, right? Like, it's like short snippet of my opinion, short snippet of your opinion, short snippet of my opinion. It's like this polarizing back and forth where it's like, maybe if you're in person, you'd be like, oh yeah, we're trying to say the same thing, but we just kind of disagree on this part, right? So social media is really fucking bad for that. But it's really cool for, like, you know, like, for example, seeing Paul Stanley paint. Like, you would never know that, right? And creative people usually have multiple creative outlets, so you find out a lot about people because now you know so much more about their life. So that's a good thing about them. You find out all the good things you like about them. You also find out, oh, Paul Stanley's kind of a dick, and I don't like his fucking opinion on fucking the environment, you know? So it's one of those
Yeah, it's true. You look at social media like, oh, wow, I didn't know I had friends who would say that kind of stuff. That's not based in fact, but okay.
Yeah. You have this, like, image of, like, your holy idol, and then he just says something fucked, and you're like, what? This is my guy that I, you know? Oh,
so what's next for you guys? I mean, you got the album obviously coming out, Parasite. You got some singles dropping. This War, I think, is coming on the 12th, is it? I'm going to double. 15th. I'm sorry. Yep. So just I mean, kind of paint the picture for, you know, just what's ahead for you guys and, you know, playing shows and that sort of thing.
Right. So we're going to be releasing the singles. Yeah. So we have the 15th, and then Parasite will probably be 6 weeks after that, sometime like that. So we're going to release some music. We're going to get on the road a little bit. We're going to be playing some Southern Ontario shows just to get going a little bit, and then the next thing is to try and get on tour and start touring this thing. And at the same time, we're working on the next record because it's been so long. So we have a lot of stuff in the back pocket. So yeah, it's gonna be a whole bunch of stuff. It's gonna be a lot of touring, and it's gonna be a lot of in the studio stuff coming up moving forward, because now things are opened up again.
As you go across Canada, does it like you said, Southern Ontario? How different is the rock or rock based scene from kind of major Canadian city to major Canadian city? Does it vary, or it just sort of depends?
Yeah, well, it's a little bit different. Like, first things first, to get from one major city to the other major city, you have to take fucking 3 planes, this fucking train, and a submarine. Oh, so God. It's like touring Canada is garbage. That's why nobody really wants to tour Canada, because, like, you do Vancouver, you do Calgary, and then it's like prairies, you know, and God forbid you're in the fucking winter, you know. So yeah, I mean, the scenes, I've only played one show in each of the major Canadian cities, like Vancouver and Calgary, and we didn't do any East Coast stuff, but I mean, I would say it's pretty similar, and there's just a smaller, Toronto scene. I would say the only one that's different is obviously Quebec, like Quebec City is just, there's just so much more character there, because they're very, like, European, stick to the roots. So that seems a little bit fucking different, definitely, but it's pretty cool, it's pretty interesting. So yeah, I would say if anything, Montreal has the most different and unique rock metal scene.
Cool. And I love how you guys are already working on new material. I mean, so you found that fire again. I mean, you really have found that fire. Just that's awesome.
Yeah, you need it, man. You need it. It gives me meaning. So, like, writing music is my passion. So I love writing new stuff. If I'm not writing, then I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. You know? So yeah, it's I need to keep writing. Otherwise, I'm just going insane.
Are you a gearhead too? Like, do you are you kind of checking out new gear and that sort of thing, like, from time to time?
Oh, me and my brother. It's funny. Me and my brother have never cared about gear.
Really? Okay.
Like, that's honestly, cool. I don't even know what the best drummers are using. Right. Like, they're relevant to me. It's like, oh, drum kit, great.
You know? Right. Yeah.
So for me, I'm just like, yeah, just give me something I feel comfortable on. I'm happy. I have a little bit of gear for the writing side of things, because I play piano to write. And I've bought in a couple MIDI programs. Like, I bought in Silent, and I bought in some orchestral programs, and that's helped with my writing. So that's, like, the extent of my gear knowledge. But
right.
It's very, very fucking basic, to be honest.
Gotcha.
It's more about writing. That's my thing. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, some artists love the tech mags, or you know, the you know, here's there's a new keyboard system, there's new this, and some people are like, yeah, that'll do. And either way it works, you know. That's the cool thing about it.
It's the geeky side of music, it's the tech and that kind of a thing, right? Which is like, I'm totally a nerd, but I'm just not a nerd for music here. So
right.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Cool. Well, Billy, this has been a blast, man. Anything else you'd like to add, man? I can't wait for the single to drop on the 15th and the album some weeks out. That's going to be awesome, dude.
Yeah, I'm just excited to get some music going, and I'm excited to have some conversations with people like you. So I appreciate you having me on the show.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Billy from Ascendia.
Yeah!